I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. Hello, good listeners. Powers. Nice to hear you. Nice to you to hear me. Nice of you to hear me. I've been missing you guys this summer. I know that you have been left in more than capable hands with the lovely Rhea Butcher and Ricky Carmona. They are on this show today, and we are also going to have a review of American Ultra, plus a pretty big announcement that maybe you'll like. We'll see. All that and more when we come back. Oh, I assume you enjoyed that guitar lick. Did you get licked? You know you did. Guys, this is Rhea Butcher. She's the Lady James
hi.
Dean.
Hi, that's me.
Pamplemousse. How are you, Rhea?
I'm pretty good. Weird to not be in the hosting chair.
You've been doing such a great job all summer.
Yeah, I've been hosting it up while you've been gone.
How has that been for you?
Great. Ricky and I have been having a great time.
And you had a bunch of guests on.
We did have a bunch of guests on.
Rank all the guests.
I can't.
Backwards in order of least importance.
I'm not drunk. I'm telling you. I don't drink. I'm not drunk.
So you can
only... give me a ticket.
Okay. You don't want a ticket?
No, don't give me a ticket.
But you're in a car, and you're driving erratically.
In a podcast studio?
Yeah.
Shit, arrest me.
How'd you get this car in this podcast studio?
I'm driving the ninth podcast floor. Studio.
So,
It's not a car, it's a studio.
You reviewed a bunch of movies this
summer. So many movies, I can't remember any of them.
Not one?
No.
I feel like you saw a bunch of movies without me, which is pretty unusual because usually we see so many movies together.
I saw Mission Impossible without you.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet still.
Yeah, you still haven't seen it.
And I guess what I heard is that Tom Cruise does not hold onto a plane. That they do all this stuff where it's like they keep breaking the fourth wall and all the other characters will say to you, the audience, we don't know whether or not Tom Cruise can hold on to a plane.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the plane takes off and then he doesn't hold on to it and they go, he can't.
I guess he's just a rogue nation.
And they say, well, I suppose that mission was impossible.
That's what they say.
Shun.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie.
Yep. That's me, Shun.
Yeah. I also saw Spy Without You.
Yeah, you saw Spy Without Me, too. You really loved that
Ricky
one.
Ricky and I saw that together.
And speaking of
really
Ricky,
like that.
That's Ricky Carmona.
Movie.
Ricky, get over here.
Girl.
You've been outside the car. Get in the car.
Oh, man.
Open the door. Get in the car. You know that song.
Is that a
Do
song?
I don't think I know that one. Is that an original Cameron Esposito joint?
I wrote
joint?
It just
it
now.
It sounded right off the... Something about it just said, that's an original Cameron
what
Esposito joint.
What was it
joint?
That gave it away? You know, we don't have as many songs that are just like telling somebody to do a couple things. Mm-hmm. Open the door, get in the car.
You know, one of my favorite kinds of rap is early rap, when they would just rap about what it was they were doing. I dribble the ball, I go up the court, I take a shot, and then it goes in.
And also,
that's like
speaking,
the best.
I think they stole that from musicals.
Is that right?
Yeah, because musicals
right?
are like,
well,
we
yeah,
have a
true.
Newspapers, our job is to be delivering them. My name is Christian Bale.
Whoa.
And that's from the musical Newsies.
Is that American Psycho?
I think that was the theme from Rent.
We have newspapers.
I am Christian Bale.
Our job is to deliver them, and this is how we make our rent.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Do you guys Cameron, know? You played a rap song for me earlier today.
Ooh.
What was that called?
That's not a rap song.
I'm sorry, but it's
I
one of those songs
song.
Where he like explains what he's doing.
I played
doing.
The song Strokin'
oh,
by Clarence Carter.
Carter. Absolutely.
And Rhea had never heard this
you
song.
You never heard Strokin' before?
No.
Girl.
And she was like, wait, what is going to happen next? And I'm like, Rhea, he's going to tell you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He's going to stroke it to the left.
Thank you.
He is going to stroke it slow and fast.
Yep.
And then he's going to be like, this girl, you know what is my favorite part of that song?
Everything.
When he says that, like, I was with a lady. I don't remember. This is not. I'm paraphrasing.
But he's put like, your heart into it, girl.
Like,
go ahead.
He was like, I was with a lady, and you know what she said to me? She was like, Clarence Carter, Clarence Carter, Clarence Carter, woo, Clarence Carter. Like, she says his whole name.
Yeah.
And then one time she, I think at the beginning, in the middle there, she comes to fruition.
I see what you, I'm picking up what you're putting down here.
And then she's like, still like, but I still remember your last name. It's nice.
Stroking is a cut, girl.
It is.
Woof.
Yeah, it is.
Mm. One of the big laughs. One of the big laughs in The Nutty Professor is when it cuts to Eddie and he's just jamming in his Porsche. Yes, and he's singing along to Stroking. Oh, it's great.
Oh my God. Oh, how did I miss? I
stroke
don't know
it
how
to
I
the east. I stroke it I to the west. Oh, it's I'll be stroking. That's it. And he gets into it too.
So
oh, it's great.
Into it. He sounds like a drunk dad that got a microphone at karaoke and just started making up a song.
He sings the hell out of that at the family barbecue. The
good
hell
God.
Out of it. Goddamn right.
Ricky, how was your summer? I've missed you. We haven't seen each other.
Girl, it has been a minute. It has been a minute.
But you were on tour a bunch. I know that.
I was on tour a bunch, and that was fantastic. I got to see the east side of the country, mm-hmm. which was lovely.
Did you travel to the east?
Travel to the east side, yo. Not the least side, if I'm... Thank you. Thank
we
you.
We all rent.
Thank you.
It's not the least.
That was great. My summer's been outside of being on tour. I think this weekend was a pretty good example of, like, we're just going to take it easy. We're going to chill. I ate way too much. Eaten way too much. Played, we're in the last days of summer. Played some Kendrick Lamar. I played All Right, when I thought was the song of the summer. Tonight felt like it might be the last time I listen to you for a while. Kendrick All Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Momentous day, everybody. Momentous day.
It was Labor Day today while you were listening to that. So you were actually
right. I was feeling laborious.
I just mean it was the actual end of summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of feels like a rite of passage. I set my alarm early for tomorrow so I can wake up, do exercises before I go to work. Boom.
Like what kind of exercises?
That's Ricky's life.
Like exercises.
Like calisthenics?
I'll probably do like a lot of push-ups. I like to do at least 100 push-ups before I leave the house.
What?
But I mean, I like don't do like 100 like in a row. I'll like break them up and then I'll do, it'll take me like 10 minutes.
Do you know about this?
I'll
is this what you guys
coffee.
Have been talking about while I'm gone?
No, I mean,
I don't
we
talk
both
about this
do.
Stuff on the air. I just thought, I was like, hey, let's go ahead and, let's peek behind the curtain here.
this
I is
feel
what
like I,
do.
I should be doing 100 push-ups.
It feels great. It feels great.
But know? I am a lady, so I'm not built for that.
Cameron, your arms are ripped up. Your arms
are
jacked.
I mean, for sure. Plus, Demi Moore was like so upset when I just said that just now. She went through all that training.
Yeah.
She and those two like Rangers that are real people that graduated a couple weeks ago.
Real human beings, not characters in a movie.
Real.
Well, I have
human.
Been. I have been traveling so much this summer. And not only that, but I also was in a bunch of movies. I was in 3 different indie films this summer. And so this is...
I was saying they were Star Wars. Just tell me I'm right.
Yeah. well, I mean, they are independent from the Federation. So,
boom!
I was in a couple different movies, and from that, I'm kind of on a roll right now. Mm. And so some cool stuff is happening. So... starting next week, I have to go to Atlanta for a couple weeks, and I have to shoot a like much bigger budget movie, which is really nuts because it's definitely the biggest thing that I've ever been in. And I'm saying all of this on the podcast because our announcement is that we are going to be a monthly podcast from here on out. You guys have done such an amazing job of covering and picking up the slack and making this show run in my absence. But I also feel like we are all the busiest of bees. And a really good thing is when we started this show, you know, Rhea and I had just moved to Los Angeles. And we started the show because we needed some place to go every week. Like we needed something to do with friends and our community. And Ricky and Lindsay were a really wonderful part of making us, our producer Lindsay and Ricky, were a really wonderful part of making us feel at home in Los Angeles. So this weekend is also our 3-year anniversary of living here. And we're so jazzed to have found some of our footing. And now it's gotten to the point where because of the specific structure that we picked for this show, it is hard to do on a weekly basis. It's hard to watch a 2-hour movie and then write that and then come in here and podcast. It, I'm sure, is hard for you to keep up listening and watching movies along with us. And we know that there's a wonderful fan base. We appreciate you guys so much. And we know you come out to shows. I've met so many of you guys. So The good news is we will be doing just movies that are in theaters, and we will be letting you know what those movies are, and we'll do one per month, and we will let you know when that podcast episode is going to be released. And we hope that you keep listening, and we hope you keep tweeting at us and coming to live shows. And we are just so grateful for you for the last, like, almost 3 years. I mean, the week Rhea and I moved to Los Angeles, we first started coming into Max Fun to work with Lindsay to create this show, and it finally launched in January of that year, or of the next year. And so my point is, this has been a huge part of our lives for the last couple of years, and let's keep it going into this next new zone that is the cool monthly, oh yeah, your pals are back zone. So you'll miss us maybe those other 3 weeks. We'll miss you too. But that one time, that one magical time per month, we will all come together and make the greatest of our podcasts. Rhea, Ricky, do you have anything to say about this massive announcement?
If you get for the right price, you can rent me out. I'll come do the show at your apartment. Every second week of the month.
Yeah.
If you guys are like fiending, like, oh man, we need an episode.
See, hello, I didn't I'll mean to say that you couldn't hire us individually. If I implied that in any way,
yeah.
For money, we can come to your house individually. Yes.
I've been working on a Cameron impression. I've been working on a Rhea impression. So
yeah.
you both don't have to be there because you are busy and I can do the whole show.
Great.
As the both of you.
You're like a one-man band.
Yeah. Actually, you know, you could also kind of mix it into Tosh if you want to. Just like leave little messages.
Sure, absolutely.
On the show for the listeners so that they know they're still included.
I like the idea of a one-man band having like the string that like pulls like the cymbal and the big drum.
Yeah, yeah. That's a joke that is not included in anything anymore, and that's a great joke.
That's a solid joke.
With the
solid
cymbals,
visual
the cymbals between the knees. That always
cymbals
played.
Yeah,
I like the cymbal between the knees.
And then there's like tambourine cymbals on the toes.
And Rhea, any thoughts on how people could keep up with you now that you're not going to be on this week's show?
I mean, definitely follow me on Instagram.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a way mm-hmm. to keep following me and what's going on with me, because... Snapchat is for children, so get out of here with that Snapchat. No, I'm sorry if I offended you in your Snapchat use. I don't understand it. But anyway, you can just follow me on Instagram and Twitter because I pretty much will just be doing my part of the weekly show on there.
Great.
You know, my commentary will just show up there.
Well, dudes, it has been the greatest of weekly runs with you
yes.
guys.
Yes. Mm.
So we will be back right after this with some chats about what we've been watching.
Hello, buddies. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Andy Bolt.
And we're the host of Bunker Buddies.
We're a podcast where we're amateur survivalists and we talk about things like the apocalypse.
And we talk about zombies and preparedness.
What are you going to wear when it's the apocalypse?
And you have no idea if you don't listen to our show. It comes out every Wednesdays on MaximumFun.org and on iTunes. Sometimes we try weird foods or we talk about where to camp or how to avoid getting eaten or any of these things.
Yeah, so listen to us because it might just save your life.
We'll see you in the bunker.
Bye.
So, Rhea, Ricky, we have a new format for this show because we can't do news reviews, things you can use. When we're doing a monthly show, news just don't make sense.
Just too much news.
God,
too much
we
news.
Are
too much
working
no news.
On a 24-hour news cycle. So we will be sure to, on our own personal Twitter and Facebook accounts, you know, make witticisms that are very funny about, like, rolling droids and things like that.
Sure.
But for this show, what we're going to do is we're going to check in on the things that we've been watching recently. So, Ricky, what have you been watching recently?
Oh, man, I've got a list, so cut me off. The first thing I finished watching was Show Me a Hero on HBO.
Been talking about that one for a minute, Ricky.
I finally finished it. I had no idea. I didn't know about that story. So when it gets to the end, I was like, wow, Oscar Isaac, that's my guy.
I'm telling you, man.
That's my guy.
5 years, that dude is going to be
that's my guy.
The guy. Dude. Yeah, he's going to be the
I
dude.
I feel like he's already kind of like the dude. It just has it like, there's just like one thing that needs to happen.
I mean, he's going
to
be like Clooney level, the dude.
Oh, for sure. I think he's going to be like Pacino level.
Well, yeah,
the dude.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, he's just like, oh. So I watched the hell out of that. And that was fantastic. Netflix right now is giving me, they're like doing real good, and they're also like making me worried. Does anybody else get this sense that there's like, there's just like these thing with movies coming out about Colombia, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Thank you for showing my people. But it's just like, oh, here's another cocaine story. Like, oh,
what are you?
Great.
What are you specifically referencing?
The show Narcos is on Netflix right now. It's about the rise of Pablo Escobar. And
well, that's why, right? Because Pablo Escobar, like, he gained all this popularity in the past, like, 5 years.
I mean,
the news cycle.
This is a Netflix original show.
This is a Netflix original show?
You know what is crazy? I haven't even heard of it.
Oh, is that right?
I just
Netflix
feel like...
emailed me personally to let me know that I might enjoy Narcos.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I'm not so sure. I did watch Cocaine Cowboys Parts 1 and 2.
You went back for 2.
I think that this also speaks to another thing, which is that, you know, when Orange is the New Black came out, everybody knew that that was happening. And I feel like Netflix has a bunch of things. Amazon has a bunch of things. Hulu has some things that now there is as much new programming on these platforms as there is. Like, what is the reason we're going to Netflix now? It is more, I think, to watch the shows that are on there and then, like, occasionally they'll get, like, a new fun movie coming through. But it seems like they're even investing less money in curating their film collections.
Yeah.
Because they are flipping to TV.
Mention something that applies to what you're saying?
Yeah.
They lost the, like, bidding war, perhaps on purpose, to Hulu over Epix, which is, like, a distribution channel for films. So they're going to lose, like, a ton of their films that they have on Netflix.
Right.
Clearly because they're sort of shifting their focus more towards their own content.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is fascinating because Hulu, it now feels, is a place that you can find some of those. Hulu is, like, now where you watch network television.
Yeah.
Now you watch network television on Hulu, and then also it makes sense for them to have, like, these kind of second-run movies or whatever, and then you buy your movies that are in the theaters on your Apple TV. Like, we have all these different things that are specializing in different things. It really does feel like Netflix is the first one that's just going to be a studio, you know, just a regular studio. And I think that what will happen is that BuzzFeed will become a studio that it has as much original content as Netflix.
For sure.
Well, I go to Netflix still just for name recognition as well. Like, I'm still not I'm still not used to going, oh yeah, I gotta go to Hulu to see that, or I gotta go to Amazon. But that's just because they haven't been around as long. But I started watching Hannibal, and that's on Amazon. I've been, like, tricking myself into, like, oh yeah, don't forget there's more options other than Netflix. And the Narcos issue, and the thing that I was saying about Colombians is, I mean, he might have gained popularity again in, like, the last 5 years, but I feel like the Pablo Escobar story, and maybe it's just because I'm Colombian, I'm so, like, familiar with it. I'm just like, yep, I've seen a different version of that story, so I know how this is going to end. I'm, like, there's that one that's coming out. There's a movie with Benicio. There's two movies with Benicio del Toro. One of them, I think he is playing Pablo Escobar. And then in the other one, I don't think it's a movie that's about Colombian drug trafficking, but it's about drug trafficking. But either way, I mean, it's solid to be watching something on Netflix that is like this other show. They have this other show called Club de Cuervos. That's like their first all Latino show. And that's like about a soccer team. So it's fun to see, like, Netflix invest money in their audience. We're out here. We're giving you our money. So it's fun to see, like, our stories. It is just that oh man, both ends of the spectrum. Like, oh yeah, great. Here's Colombia. I get to see the dramatic side of my people. And then that show Club de Cuervos is like a funny show. I mean, it's funny, you know? It definitely
Spanish
has
Spanish language?
Yeah, and it's all in Spanish. It's all in Spanish. And it does have, like, I can't believe I'm saying it's like telenovela kind of humor to it. But I don't know. It just seems like, yeah, this is a show I can see how this is derivative of a show that my parents used to watch. And that's a good thing.
Awesome.
So I'm watching those.
That's
are solid.
Rhea, what are you up to? What's going on in your brain and eyeballs?
Oh, well, I haven't been watching anything super regular. Well, one thing, but I'll say that one second. I was flying a bunch Like, I flew to Denver, and then the next weekend after that, I flew to Canada. And the Denver flight was only, like, 2 hours, so I didn't have to watch anything. I just read something, and that will be my leave you with for later. So,
oh, my God.
Keep
the
tuning
anticipation
in. Don't leave the podcast
just
yet.
That's a teaser.
But on the Canada flight, it was much longer, and I was flying, like, all day, basically, and there's no direct flight, so I had a lot of downtime in the airport, too. And I thought that I had put Big Eyes on my iPad, the Tim Burton movie that I just felt like watching, but it wasn't on there. The only thing that was on there was the movies that I had on from the last time that I did not want to watch. I had The Core, which I did not feel like rewatching by myself. We watched that for this very show. Go back and listen to that episode. And the other movie was Black Hat, which I had tried to watch on one flight and ended up just needing to sleep. And so I listened to a lot of it, woke up in the middle of it and was like, how did they get here? And then just didn't watch it. So on this flight, I was like, all right, I guess I just got to watch this. And I watched it and
Oh, boy, is it not great. Oh, no.
I was so bummed.
Who is in that movie?
It's Thor.
I thought so. And what does he do? He's like a traitor or something?
Yeah, he's a hacker.
Oh,
that's
different.
In jail. Which that whole thing, like, I can't even.
Supercomputer hacker.
Can I also just ask you guys a question?
Right here.
He's a hacker, like, but his what do his muscles do?
But he's gigantic.
What's the purpose of his muscles in this
stereotype?
His muscles kind of do the hacking in this.
Hackers do not look like Thor. Like poker players look like Thor. Like put him in a poker movie, I'll believe that. That's the furthest that I would go. That's just the furthest that I would go with Hemsworth being in a movie.
I
that
feel
he's
like
not
it's like dragon wrestler, regular
yes.
wrestler,
it's
jello wrestler.
Movies where you're like, man, they really didn't know how to. It's so hard to visualize.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Always difficult.
It just is going to always be weird. And
well,
like,
that is why
I
also
wish
that
they
we're
wouldn't
not
have
scared
shown
of it.
Any of it.
That's why we're not scared of it, is because. That is why people, you know, the Ashley Madison hack or
you don't know what's happening.
It doesn't matter how powerful we realize hackers are or how widespread the information that they gather is, like how large it is. We will never be the appropriate amount scared of hackers. It is like our life. They could take our lives.
Right.
They know our home addresses. They could take our lives.
Yeah. I feel like a scarier way to visualize hackers is to never have me fly through a mainframe. Mm. I never want to go through any sort of optical fibers or any of that stuff. Like, I got it. I don't need to take that ride anymore.
How many bags of Cheetos do you see guys eat in
Zero.
Front of laptop? What the hell?
Ridiculous.
And these guys
but
are supposed to be hackers?
They should just show somebody on a computer, and they're working on something, and then it just starts deleting. And then they start writing, and then it deletes, and they don't know what's going on.
Mm. Right.
And that is that's it.
Then
that's
they
all
go
I need to
home,
know.
And their wife is gone.
Yeah, everything's gone. And then they turn on the news, and they're like, this guy's an idiot. And he's like, I don't know. I've been hacked. You know? That's what should happen.
I've been black hatted.
I've got a black hat on. Oh, my God.
He looks up. There's a black hat on
black
his head.
Black hat emoji on his head. Because it's computers.
Yeah. No, that's
you.
A really great
point.
That's a really great point.
But there is something.
I mean, I also think they could show the electric bills of the parents' houses that they live in.
Sure.
Because they're using their computers all night.
Yeah.
And their moms and dads are just like regular working folk. And they like don't have enough money for this, Jason.
You can't afford another disconnect, Jason.
Yeah, exactly.
Solid Although, hacker name, Jason.
Yeah, Jason.
Solid.
But it's with a five. J.
Sure. Sure.
Also, Russell. I feel like Russell is
Russell's a good one.
Hacker absolutely. Name. But one thing that they do in that movie that I found absolutely fascinating and thought was the coolest thing is that there's an element of like a radiation outbreak in the movie. I'm not going to explain it.
All right.
And they have to go in and get a hard drive from an area that has been evacuated and is like seriously, they have to put on suits and they're like, you only have this much
Sounds
time
like that's going
to
be a hard drive.
It was a hard drive, yes.
Boom! Hard drive. That one went far.
That one hit the fence on the way out.
It hit the fence, it hit so it came back in. No, just I mean, a double.
It hit the yellow part, so it's a homie, as you like to call it. Anyway, so they have to go into this section, get a hard drive, and I was like, well, how are they gonna use the hard drive if it's, you know,
irradiated?
Thank you. Well, when they're in there, they have a lead box, and they put it in the lead box, and it plugs in inside the box, and they bring the box out, and they, like, take the exterior. It's like a, you know, I don't know. They, like, catch it on fire. So, I mean, take the exterior off, throw that part away, and then they just plug into the lead box. And so the hard drive, it's like a hard drive case, basically. Mm.
Well.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
Also, the cast, the, like, tertiary casting or whatever was pretty great. That gal that I can't think of her name, but she was in True Detective season 2. She was like working with Colin Farrell, that character.
Taylor Kitsch.
No, the woman that is, she's also a cop or a DA or something, and she like hires Colin, you know, that she's like, you're working on this with us, but we can't, you know, it's very hush-hush.
The black woman?
Yes.
Oh, what's her name? I don't know who you're talking about, but I know
who
you're talking
about. She's been popping up so often lately, and like, I just love seeing her.
Yeah, she's great.
She always brings it, and she's great in this movie.
Word.
And the dude that in Fight Club that says, his name is Robert Paulson.
Yes.
The first guy to say it is in this movie also. I can't
word.
Think of his. He was in that show Lights Out on FX, like I can't
wow,
say.
Wow, guys. Wow. Wow.
I think I'm back on board with Blackhead now. I think I'm back in. You got me.
Listen, you bunch of nerds.
So the other thing I've been
naming things other things that are in what?
The other thing that I've been watching that's about to wrap up is baseball. Is this season
baseball.
And this is my favorite time of year of the season to watch baseball.
It's the most because wonderful
we're
ball.
Getting into the playoffs, everybody's fighting for the wild card. And for a while, I was like, this is the great part of being a Cleveland
they
Indians fan.
Because they hit lots of homies. They hit lots of triples. They catch it in the air.
Thanks.
I think that's another original Cameron Esposito.
It is. It's a Cameron Esposito original single.
It's
anyway.
It's been really fun watching baseball with you. I feel like I didn't understand that the game was a thinking man's game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a theater. That's
and
what I like about it. It's
you theater. Really like all the little details of the adjustments that they make
yes.
in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I Choices. Am really enjoying it. I'm really appreciating that because I am used to sports where the decisions are all like momentary. They're on en route. Like they're already going to the hoop. And then they decide to flip to the other hand or whatever. So it is interesting to see a game slowed down to the point where you're like,
wait, they planned
it's
that?
It's like chess, sort of.
Yeah. But then there's also, you know, a double play. You get to watch them make those second decisions also, which is what I like about it. There's both, you know.
Have you seen the games where they use the bats that are on fire? Those games are the best.
Oh, those games are sick.
The bats get on fire.
The games brought to you by Cheetos Flamin' Hot.
So much Cheeto dust is everywhere.
But I was going to say, this is the time that it's fun to be an Indians fan because they have no chance, and then you're just like, oh, I just get to watch them play baseball, and it's fun. But then I have the MLB.com at-bat app.
Yeah, you do.
And so I was like, just looking at the highlights from the game, and it says wild card chasing tribe, and I was like, no, no, I don't want them to have any chance. I don't want to get into this again. It's just gonna hurt. I mean, I don't think they're gonna make it.
But that one guy's very cute.
She's really into how cute this guy is.
Which one was his name?
I forget. Kipnis?
Yes, he's cute. I like him a lot.
Yeah, she likes to talk about how cute the baseball players are.
Or who they
Whereas
look like.
I think Francisco Lindor is way cuter than Jason Kipnis.
He's cute, too.
I love Lindor.
I like to talk about how their pants
player.
Are on them. Hey, his pants are nice and tight.
Or, she likes them with the tight pants.
I see.
Yes,
I see.
When they wear baggy pants, I can't see what's going on.
Cameron, I think you're watching a little bit too much game.
She's watching too much baseball.
You're watching too much baseball in this game.
So I've been watching baseball with Rhea. I've been really enjoying that. And then also, I was on a plane and I was watching the in-flight entertainment system on Delta, and so they had some older movies, and I don't think that I've been back on the show since I watched this, but it was a wonderful time, and I would really recommend, if you're on a Delta flight, watching Singles Because you can watch Singles on a plane.
Singles, the Cameron Crowe joint?
The Cameron Crowe movie from like whatever it was, 1990.
I think it's like 1990.
I'm pretty sure.
No, it had to be later than that. Because Pearl Jam was already like a thing in it. It's like 92.
Well, what's amazing about this movie is that, first of all, Paul Giamatti is in it. He has the smallest part with one line. That's nice.
A background actor.
Yeah, he's making out with a woman in the back. So it's like fun for those reasons. Keir Sedgwick is amazing in it. I just think that that movie, like, if you were a kid in the 90s.
1992.
Okay. If you were a kid in the 90s and you, like, sort of experienced some of this stuff, but you weren't an adult, this is a great movie to watch. Because I was, so 1992, I would have been 11, and I remember I saw it when it came out, and I was like, this, yay, this feels,
I can't wait to be just like them. I can totally relate
to Bridget Fonda's character in this movie. But it is really fun watching it now, because they're, like, supposed to be in their early 20s, and it's a really fun... I wasn't that age in the 90s. I wasn't in my early 20s, and it's really fun to go back and, like, look at this, like, grunge era that's happening in Seattle. The way it's edited is very similar to, like,
the
television
world.
Show in Reality Bites that doesn't get off the ground. That's like, boo, like, blah, blah. Yeah, it looks very much like The Real World or early MTV stuff, and it's just super fun. Like, I had a great time watching it, and it has some... good, solid adult themes.
Can
I
say
it.
Something?
Yeah.
Now, Cameron, you're not aware of this, but Ricky and I have had this thing going for, I feel like, the last 6 episodes. It's been a while where every episode we talk about a movie or television show that has an actor from The Wire. Now, in Singles, Presbyluski is, what's his, Campbell Scott's friend.
You're
is
right.
Is that right?
He's the 20 numbers guy.
Good call.
So there it is.
You're totally right.
We've kept The Wire going.
And he's
going.
Like very young and he has weird facial hair and like a strange dumpy hat and it's perfect. So yes.
Like a backwards Kangol and he wears a duster.
Yeah. It's like a very 92. Funny hat. But yes. So see Singles, it is.
And a mock turtleneck. I never understood the mock turtleneck. Is the mock turtleneck making fun of turtlenecks? Is that why it's a mock turtleneck?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Jerry?
That's gold, Jerry.
Seinfeld? Jerry Seinfeld?
Who are these people?
We will be back with a review of American Ultra right after this.
I'm Dave Holmes, and if you've been missing my show, International Waters, you've been missing this.
If there's one thing I know about owls, they are wise. Two things. They are wise.
Yes.
They love nightclubs.
They wear tiny graduation motorboards, and they love nightclubs.
They also do the best double takes of all birds of prey.
And if you slow it down, they actually go, get it up.
International Waters, a panel show where U.S. and U.K. comedians battle for pop culture supremacy. Subscribe right now on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
Now is the time of the show when we are going to give you a brief review of a dick flick. For this week, we went to the movie theater and we watched American Ultra, the Max Landis written, and I'm trying to get this guy's last name right, Nurizadeh?
Sure.
Yep. I hope we learn how to say his name because this is only his second movie. Now, this movie stars Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart, Topher Grace, Connie Britton, Walton Goggins, John Leguizamo's in that movie, Bill Pullman's in there, also Tony Hale. So, this movie, to just give you guys a little sum up, is kind of a nouveau born identity sort of a thing mixed with what felt like to me very Scott Pilgrim-y stuff. So Jesse Eisenberg's character, oh, by the way, spoilers do follow. Jesse Eisenberg's character is at his job. He's a burnout, smokes a ton of pot. Well, let me say it to you this way. The way the movie is set up, we think we understand who this character is. Mm-hmm. He lives in small town America in a sort of a depressed area, not a lot of opportunity. He works at what looks like kind of a passed over convenience store. He seems to smoke pot. It feels like maybe that's what's happening. He's holding something and then he's smoking it and it feels like it's pot.
Smell like it in my theater.
Yep. And he's dating Kristen Stewart. It turns out somebody is trying to kill him. Why is it? Why is that? Why are they trying to kill him? Well, because he is a CIA operative that was a part of an experimental program where dudes that or chicks that had gone astray with the law were like reconditioned and turned into super soldiers, and that's what he is. He is under. He has had his memory wiped. He's like in a deep cover sort of a situation. And Kristen Stewart, his girlfriend, is also his handler. So can they get out of there alive? Are they American Ultra enough? Yeah. I can't wait to hear what you guys thought of this movie. Ricky, I'm going to start with you. What is the worst part about this movie?
Man, it's supposed to be funny, right? I felt like I was supposed to be laughing a lot during this movie.
That's kind of why I said the Scott Pilgrim angle, where I felt like there was a little bit of an almost Edgar Wright tone that, like, it wasn't clear where the, but there was levity. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That it was some injected levity?
They deliver everything. Everything is played very straight, you know? But things are so, like, hyper-stylized that it's like, all right, so we're, like, in on the joke. I get what you're doing, but It's like they were trying, maybe they were trying to go for the Edgar Wright thing, but it just didn't, it just wasn't like, I didn't laugh. It just wasn't funny, you know? And like other people would laugh in like the theater and I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, yes, me too. What the fuck was so funny about that?
Maybe some of it is also that as specific as this movie was,
because
there were definitely people that laughed a lot in the theater we went to as well. I wonder if it was one of those things where it was like, it was such a specific movie, but the comedy was kind of broad.
Yeah.
Where, like, people were definitely laughing. It wasn't, like, unsuccessful in making people laugh, but that it wasn't, like, the kind of surprise humor that might get, you know, I don't know, for instance, professional comedians to laugh.
Yeah, it just wasn't, like, my kind of funny. Like, I could see how, like, people, like, I saw, like, where the jokes were, and I was like, I know that's where I'm supposed to laugh right there, but just, like, the tone of it, I said this last week about Hercules as well, just, like, the tone of it didn't, I don't know what they were, it's such a weird movie. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was also trying to figure it out the whole time. As soon as it started off, like, all right, he's in, like, this interrogation room, and we're going to hear what happened. So already I'm like, Ricky, prepare yourself that everything we're about to watch is fake, because I know this guy's like a spy as well. So like I'm like trying to figure it out as I'm watching. I'm like, oh, is Kristen Stewart fake? Maybe he's making all that up. And then it's going to end with him breaking out of this whatever room he's in. But it's not. It's just kind of like what they tell you it is. When he tells the story, when you realize like that's it, you're just like, oh, that was it. Okay. It didn't feel like anything changed from the beginning of their story to the end.
You didn't need to see him in the jail cell.
Other than that, you found out, oh yeah, now he's probably going to marry that girl and how he is a super spy.
Well,
but I kind of like felt
like
that walking in that it was going to end that way.
Yeah, right. There's some part of that that I actually appreciated, which is that thing that I'm always talking about on this show, that alien thing, where like from the movie Alien, where it just like, it just goes and things are like revealed as they need to be revealed and not that much other backs. Like we don't even, we never hear what the program is that he was in.
Yeah.
So I liked that it was a little bit simple, but I totally understand everything that you're saying.
You know,
I liked it a little bit where it was just, I was like, it's just a thrill ride?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Cause like you look at The Bourne Identity, that movie is like, you have to like pay attention to what they're saying, like names, and it's like, and this thing happened, and where were we then? And then, you know, it's like a whole big kind of puzzle thing. And this was very much just like you're on a track, you're riding that track, and this is the ride. And I didn't hate that about it, but I understand that it was very
a movie where that works for me. Where they do that is The Game. With Michael Douglas, where it's like, I only have this amount of information, and I'm starting to slowly gather information, and then you're just keeping up with him. Whatever he knows, you know. But, like, when the reveals happen for, like, you know, Jesse Eisenberg's character, I was just like, oh, yeah, you're a super spy. And it would just kind of be like that, like, oh, it turns out you were a super spy. Okay, cool. And, you know, maybe it's we've also seen just like a bunch of movies like that. We're like, oh, shit, the switch went off. Turns out he's not a grocery bagger. He's mm-hmm. the most lethal person in the world, you know? It might be a burnout of movies like that because I did feel like, oh, man, I am piecing this together very quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Rhea, what did you think? What's the worst part of this movie?
Well, I just was going to agree with what Ricky was saying, is that for a movie that's supposed to be about a stoner, it moves at an incredibly quick pace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, if you're making a movie about a spy who is a stoner after he's been deprogrammed, like, make him a stoner. Like, he's not very much of a stoner in this movie. Like, he smokes, like, two joints in the movie. I just think it would raise the hilarity, but maybe they just didn't want it to be, like, a stoner movie. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. My worst part is that there wasn't, like, I hate to pick on casting, and it's not this actor's fault. I just think, like, Topher Grace's character, played by somebody else, might have been better in the movie. Like, I like Topher Grace. I think he's very funny. I like a lot of choices in a lot of other movies and TV that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, just the tone that he goes with, the read on this character that he goes with, is, like, confusing.
And you know, did he have anybody to, like, report to as well? Like, I didn't know, like,
how are they doing this? It's odd to me. I guess the tone of the whole movie is just a little bit, like, it feels like somebody poured marbles on the table and you're just, like, trying to keep it all on the table where, like, all of this stuff is, like, interesting and I like a lot of the things that you're doing and I'll talk about those when we talk about likes, but, like, it's just confused
mm-hmm.
in a way that, like, it just doesn't fit together. Like, Cameron and I went to see this movie together and I immediately thought of, like, William Fichtner as, like, a fun, campy, scenery-chewing villain in Drive Angry, where, like, a character actor like that playing the Topher Grace role might have added some, like, fun villainy. But with him, I just felt like, this is terrifying that this guy, like, really wants to murder these... Like, he just wants to murder these people. And it wasn't in this way of, like... It just... You know, it's like, two more steps to the right.
Can I add...
And it would have been a home run.
Can I maybe add a little clarity to what you're saying, because this is also going to be my worst part. I agree with you that I usually don't have a particular problem with Topher Grace.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, he is too similar to Jesse Eisenberg.
Sure.
Like,
I did think those roles could be, like, interchangeable. Like,
they're very much, they're like the same age and they kind of look the same
mm-hmm.
just as actors. And then also, like, what Topher Grace is set up to do is be, like, kind of youth without boundaries sort of a thing. He's, like, just, like, way too big for his britches. He, like, calls Connie Britton a bitch, and she's, like, a lot older than him in a way that it feels weird. Like, he's, like, this young upstart.
Mm-hmm.
And that just feels strange when the person that person is fighting is also, like, a young upstart. Because I feel like that is what sets this movie apart. And I guess that could have been a good thing, you know, in terms of, like, what you're talking about, Ricky, because that's definitely not the case in... Although I guess that there's a Julia Stiles character in...
Yeah.
I also think it's a little bit similar. But my point is they're just... It's like a young dude that feels misunderstood fighting, like, a young dude that feels misunderstood. And there's no counterpoint. Like, he's not, like, sinister enough, or he's not, like, honorable enough, or he doesn't have, like, the thing that ever makes us cheer for him. And because of that, you're always on Jesse Eisenberg's side, which I actually don't think is a good thing. I wish I was more not on his side so that I could be, like, more impressed when I become on his side.
Right.
It would have been great if the people who were villains, because I guess this was my favorite part, and I won't say it now, but actually, I won't say it now. I'll wait to we get to that,
because
that'll make more sense then.
Yeah, because again, just using the Bourne identity, like, what works in that movie is that you understand why they would want to kill Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also just like, but I really hope he doesn't go. He seems like a nice dude. But you, like, get it from both sides. What were you going to say, Rhea?
I just think that you're right. There's no differentiating between the two. And I guess that's what I mean about, like, the stoner thing or something other than just, like, he gets panic attacks because, like, good God, do I not give a shit about a story about a dude that's, like, afraid of commitment? Because that's, like the red herring that they're giving you, that he's, like, afraid to leave his town or whatever. And I just, like, I don't know, make the spy person Kristen Stewart, and then that guy who clearly hates women want to kill her because she's a woman and she succeeded at it. And Jesse Eisenberg is her handler, who's also a stoner. Like, how about that? That would be more dynamic, at least. Mm-hmm. You would be looking at, because, like, it's interest, and that's the thing that I actually like about this movie, is there are interesting choices made where they're typically not made. And, like, I just wanted to see that carried through the rest of the film.
Sure.
So those, I don't know. I kind of gave away my like. But
well, what do you like about this movie, Ricky?
Well, in relation to what you were saying earlier about you kind of would have been okay with not liking Jesse Eisenberg sometimes. There's a moment when my boy Walton Goggins is up in this piece. Mm-hmm. Cletus Van Damme, family meeting, Teef, my guy. He has this like moment with Jesse Eisenberg where he kind of like tells him like, hey, how did you... Basically, like, hey, how'd you figure it out? Because I guess I'm not, like, wired the same way. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I've been hating this guy the whole movie.
Yep.
But now there's this weird thing going on where maybe they were just kind of, like, following orders, too. I want to see that movie. Show me that movie. Because then that would have made Topher Grace a little bit easier to swallow. Because then it's like, oh, yeah, maybe just whatever, like, outside circumstances are pushing him. It was so... much like, I'm the bad guy, I will do the bad guy things. And it's like, ugh.
And it doesn't make sense until that moment, basically, where you're like, because there's that whole scene that I had trouble watching when they're, like, murdering policemen, you know? And, like, it just is an intense thing to watch no matter what. And it was in an intense way, and these cops, like, have nothing to do with it other than they arrest Jesse Eisenberg all the time. And they were just, like, brutally murdering all these people. And you're like, why are these... like CIA operatives just like not caring about collateral damage at all. And like, it's not actually, it's like too late that you find out.
I
could have used some humanizing
earlier. They were programmed as well. Right?
Yes.
Is the thing that you find out.
And they were like mentally.
I thought that was like part of like this movie's like hyper stylized.
Sure, yeah.
Nobody survives. It's like Kick-Ass.
Right. Yep.
Brutal deaths, you know? And I thought that, like, but because of
you
that, like,
what?
It's hard
Kick-Ass
to,
is a
when
really
there's no
good
consequences,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't, like, consequences to, like, their actions, so that's why that does feel like, why am I watching
weird,
this? Yeah.
I suppose it also doesn't seem to live in the same world that Kick-Ass lives in, where it's, like, there's not, a lot of it seems very real.
It gets real, right?
It gets real, and then it gets, like...
All right, this is fucking bazonkers.
Well, was that your best? Yes. Wait, did
no,
you give
I
your best? Okay, what
best.
Was your best, Rhea?
I liked the, like I said, the little choices that I wish would have been sort of carried through the entire film, like that Tony Hale's character is gay, and it's not. It's just in there for like a second. Didn't have to be in there. It's not even played for jokes, even though people in our theater laughed. Ha! Jesus Christ, that scared the shit out of me. Please leave this in the podcast.
I didn't see that was him.
Yeah.
I just heard
Jesse's
it.
Here.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Jesse Thorne just gave me a heart attack. On air. On air.
On air heart attack.
No, I just liked that he's gay and then that humanizes him in a way that, you know, is great and loved that. And also the casting of Connie Britton. I liked that she was... the age that Connie Britton is and had that job, and they even added in some like actual real stuff of like her being passed over for things and you know, Topher Grace being above her, and like I kind of actually buy him calling her that because he's like out of his mind, and it's just like a heightened version of, you know, workplace harassment essentially. And so like in a way I thought it was interesting that they were even going there with it.
Yeah.
So that's those are the things that I liked about that movie.
Maybe
little
the reason
choices.
I think with him calling her a bitch, I honestly think maybe it's just like when I see Topher Grace, I think of that 70s show. I think of him being nice.
Yeah.
I just like I just think of him being nice. Like,
you see him in traffic, that'll change all that.
But
yeah,
I just mean, like, it's there are certain actors who we are familiar enough in one role for a long enough time that it is very hard to watch them play opposite of that. And, like, then there are some times when it works perfectly. And a lot of those times are comedy. Like, John Hamm in Bridesmaids, you know, everybody was, like, the first time anybody saw him in anything after Mad Men. And so everybody, like, lost their mind because they couldn't believe it. And now, you know, whatever. It's hard to do that stunt a zillion times. But
I mean, the people sitting next to us who were speaking at full volume during the entire film.
They were having a lot of conversations.
When Topher Grace came on screen.
Oh, my God. They couldn't remember what he was from.
She said, what? It was a couple. And she said, oh, that 70s show. And that was it.
Oh, boy.
So
I just don't even know.
He's very stuck in that show. Mm. And I get it.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So
did you give your like?
No, what I was going to say for my like is that this is so vague, but I had fun watching this movie. My
was
like,
that because of Kristen Stewart?
Here we go.
I am going to say,
I mean, good God.
Straight up.
Hello.
I have always been on Kristen Stewart's side of
Panic
anything.
Room.
Is that, was she in this movie? Because I was blinded by the beauty of Coach Taylor's wife.
Yeah, well,
hello,
yeah.
Mrs. Coach Taylor.
Hey, baby.
Hello.
Hey, baby.
Mrs. Coach, I would like some barbecue. Thank you.
Mrs. Coach.
But
Michael B. Jordan, there's another Wire reference. That's two. That is two.
Gee, I mean, this is what we do for you people.
Two for Grace.
This is what we do for you.
Stop two saying for two for Grace. Grace. I just thought it was generally pretty fun. Like, I thought most of the actors in it, you know, were right on the money. And, like, it just kept me entertained. It was short enough. Like, we just live in this era now where this movie could have been, like, a Marvel movie that was, like, more misogynistic or more people die with no consequence. Like, this to me felt like I kind of cared about Jesse Eisenberg's character. I know you said you didn't,
what
but
the hell?
I
we were watching
did.
Two different movies. I was watching Kristen Stewart has long hair, and you were watching Jesse Eisenberg is kind of cool.
I just think he seems like totally nice.
I guess
my main thing is I just like think actors are nice, and so like, I just like want them to be nice.
She fell for him so hard that she moved to the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, and was just like, fine.
My number one laughing my head off about this movie is that everybody was like, you know, she gave up her career 5 years ago, and she moved here, and she was on the way somewhere. And Kristen Stewart is 25 years
old. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So 5 years ago, she was 20.
Yeah.
So 5 years ago, she was 20, and in this,
on the
like,
fast track?
In the scenes
the
where
CIA,
they're going
the
back to her, she's wearing, like, a business suit in the CIA. Like,
absolutely
I don't
right.
know if you guys know anything about the CIA,
her
but
hair looks exactly like your hair when it's pulled back in that businessy scene.
Yes.
Businessy Kristen Stewart looks like regular Cameron Esposito.
I just think that maybe there was a hilarious thing where she's cast too young for what they wanted to say about her. And I understand they got Kristen Stewart. So they were like, well, then it's gotta be Kristen Stewart because we got her. But I feel like maybe just adjust that a little bit. Like, be like, you know, she was, man, we got her right out of school. Like, I think just a couple of lines.
A prodigy, you might say.
6 months and she did such a great job.
I have friends that like went through the CIA thing where they try and figure out if you can apply to the CIA.
Hey, did you do that CIA thing? Did you do that thing?
You know the
CIA thing?
I marked it that I was going on Facebook,
guys,
but I don't
can't
think
make
I'm
it on Saturday.
Go.
I'm doing that
I'm
CIA
have to
thing.
It too, maybe.
Busy.
I can't go.
Busy. At what time
I'm gonna
is
write
it?
On the wall, though. Hey, didn't you have a college roommate that went through the CIA training thing?
Yeah, it's not
I
even the training
her.
Thing. It's like pre the training thing. Whoa. They have to
CIA
go
pre?
Yeah, it's CIA pre.
That was really hard to say, by the
so
way.
So they, like, you have to fill out a zillion billion applications, and then they go and meet with, like, everybody you've ever known. And do an interview that's, like, do you
it's going to be super hard these days with, like, the internet and stuff.
Oh, for sure. If you want to do anything for the government.
I have, like, 4,000 friends on Facebook. That's a lot of people for the CIA
right.
to go through.
That's true.
I'm never going to make it through.
Visit them all.
Yep. How do I know you haven't
not
already
gonna
made it
Facebook
through?
Doors. Yeah, you wouldn't
What's
know.
The Rhea, look at me. Foxtrot. Global hat. Peanut. Boy. Apple. Dog. Marketplace.
Do you want to buy your soup? Do you want your soup?
So,
It also reminded me of Gross Point Blank a little bit. Hmm. You know.
Oh, I never saw that movie because I have taste.
Damn! What?
Gross Point Blank is a funny-ass movie.
Ooh, that one went out the stadium, yo!
Because
I've been wanting to say that for a minute,
movie
so thank you for
so
doing that.
Funny. And Joan Cusack is hilarious.
Oh,
in
Joan
it.
Cusack, isn't it?
Yeah, and so is Minnie Driver.
I mean, straight up, I know Minnie Driver's
they're
in it.
They're both great. I don't know
and
why
I appreciate
you're immediately shitting on Gross Point Blank.
I don't buy that John Cusack is a murderer.
Oh, he's
too
assassin.
Nice.
He's an assassin.
Everybody's anyway. Too nice.
Okay.
Okay, guys, so in conclusion, Ricky, what do you think about this week?
We're not rating
are we
our movies
rate this,
anymore.
This bad
oh,
boy.
Shut
the
hell's up!
Happening? Jesus, this is
Ricky.
Off the rails.
Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, cars that are driving at you that are a Hummer with also firework going off.
Oh Jesus!
What do you give this movie?
I will give it 2 cars shooting fireworks.
Cool.
The Hummer. What is going on in this movie? That was one of those. What am I watching
also,
right now?
Nobody has that. Like,
come on.
Kitschy of a house in the town in West Virginia that they're living in.
Bill Pullman,
like
what are you doing
in
that
Ohio,
movie?
At least.
Bill Pullman.
Also, he would never have dropped that umbrella in the rain wearing that wool
that
coat.
Was just
Rhea,
like,
on a scale
squinting.
Of 1
Bill
to 5.
Since 2000.
Do you think that's Kristen Stewart's like just like hair that she showed up with? Or was that just like somebody's choice? Because I don't know which one it was.
Oh, boy. On a scale of 1 to 5, do you think that was Kristen Stewart's hair that she just showed up with? Or is that somebody's choice? I can't remember the last part.
Because I just don't know.
Because I just don't know. I was so close.
That was good.
I give it 2.5.
Oh.
Because there's some good Kristen Stewart stuff in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. I get what's going on.
Oh, man. So, on a scale of 1 to 5, Connie Britton, I appreciate that you came to help everyone because you really saved the day.
She had some good gun scenes in this movie.
I give this movie like 2.5. Connie Britton, I'm like so glad that you're around and thanks for coming by with the gun for the movie.
Mrs. Coach,
Lita
you
Cano.
Saved a bunch of people.
Lita Cannoli, take the gun.
So, Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
I watched a fantastic documentary on the network CNN, the channel CNN.
What, the cable news network?
The cable news network known as CNN. And it was called Fresh Dressed, and it's amazing. Easy with throwing out
Whoa.
Amazing there, Ricky. Easy.
Already
scaling
back.
Slow down, brah.
Whoa.
I want that. It was a very informative documentary about the hip-hop fashion industry boom in from the mid-80s through the 90s. So you learned
Was there any mention of, like, Sprite?
I don't believe they
and
mentioned
how much
Sprite.
Okay.
They
I watched a documentary in like my sociology class about Sprite and how they like shifted their marketing in the mid 90s to rap, basically.
Oh, is that right? I mean, it might be put in there kind of like, and then you knew it was mainstream when fucking Sprite started showing up to the meetings. Like, can we help you, Sprite? But it talks about like just like the creation of like FUBU and Carl Kani and Cross Colors and just how like how rap influenced fashion and fashion started to influence rap. And it's just done from the it's one of these things where, like, thank you. You know who your audience is. It's not done from a we don't know how they did it. How did it happen? We thought it was just crazy music. Yeah. It was like this is what these guys were doing. This is how it started in this neighborhood. This is how it trickled down. I mean, it's just, it's really good. Nas produces it. They talk to, I mean, just great rappers. Fashion people have no idea who they are, who I usually make fun of. and it's really great. It's called Fresh Dressed. And I think you can watch it on their website now, but it aired this weekend. I watched it Saturday night, and it was on point. Made me bust out my gerboles and my Cavaricis up in this piece.
Oh, man. Carl Kani. Oh. That reminds me of that 30 for 30 about the Oakland Raiders, or the Los Angeles Raiders, excuse me.
Yep.
And Straight Outta Compton. Mm-hmm. What the hell is the name of that group? I'm losing my mind.
It's really great to, like, it's also when you live through a moment like that, when you live, like, through that history and you're watching it and you're living through it, you're just like, oh, this is cool. I like Father MC. He's wearing a jacket like that. I want that jacket. And then you watch it now and you're like, oh, yeah, damn, I remember just thinking that's cool that Father MC has that jacket. I didn't think, like, these guys are changing what fashion is going to be like from here on out. Like, you guys are like moguls now. That was not my mindset. I was just like, Mom, take me to Oak Tree. I just saw a dope-ass jacket that I want. That's really interesting to, like, see a story from that angle now. Done well, intelligently.
NWA.
NWA is their name.
Rhea.
Yes. What?
Go.
Oh. So I have two things, and one of them is a movie that I watched a while ago and kept forgetting to mention on the show, and it's now on Netflix, so I wanted to recommend it because I really liked it, and that movie is Beyond the Lights.
I like that movie.
I gotta see that. I thought it was gonna be terrible. It's a romantic drama
mm-hmm. or whatever. So, like, you go in with those expectations, but I really like it. And there's a lot of, like, family dynamics in the movie. Like, Minnie Driver is the main character's mom, and she's amazing in it. It's really well acted. Danny Glover is the dad. You know, it's got a bit of a Romeo and Juliet vibe, and then they're each sort of. The thing I realized in thinking about this movie to talk about it today, the thing that I like about it down the line, having watched it, is it's almost like the conversation, like one of them is being forced to be like, ugh, I'm tough and I'm this and I'm that, you know, like a big tough whatever and wearing crazy clothes and I'm real sexy and that whole thing. And then the other character is like fighting against trying to be better than everybody else, you know? So then I like the meeting of those two characters being like, well, I don't really like doing this either. You know, like, I love that meeting. But so that movie. And then the other thing is a book that I read that really affected me super positively, and I really enjoyed reading, and it's called The Argonauts by Maggie Nelson. And it's just a really great book about kind of what it is to be queer now and have a family, and also just what it is to be queer and not have a family. But I really, really liked it. So you should read that book because it's really great.
Awesome. Thank you, Rhea.
That's what's up.
Rhea gave me that book. I'm going to read it on my way to Atlanta at the end of this week. I'm thinking about how crazy it is that we have this amazing technology and that also we are lucky enough to know a lot of artists. Like, Ricky, what you do with your Instagram account is very interesting because you have like a theme and a consistency and people know what to expect from you. And then Rhea, what you do is you are a photographer by, you know, trained, and then you use yours for photography. And I've been thinking about this a lot because we all have a friend in common, Jonah Ray, and like what he's doing on his Instagram is creating like mini movies where he has some special apps that put different filters or do certain things, and it's like he's very up to date. He and Steve Agee seem to be on like this forefront. I don't know what they're reading, like to figure out what app is like the next app that then everybody's gonna have. But I love what those people are doing on Instagram as well. I love what you guys are doing on Instagram, but I love what they're doing on Instagram because they're using it to like actually, especially Jonah, he's using it to practice directing. Like, I feel like eventually he's going to...
It's almost like a contact sheet.
Yeah.
Apologies for interrupting you, but
no.
To use a sort of photography term, like in photography, you take all your pictures, you develop your negatives, and then you put them on a photo paper, and you develop that, and then you can pick out which photos you want to enlarge from that. And it's kind of how he's using Instagram.
This is
all my test footage, and I can just see it all right here.
Right. I think that whatever he does, you know, because he's into comedy, but he's also really into music, and he always has been. So whatever he ends up doing 5 years from now or 10 years from now, I think is going to be based on what he's doing right now on his dang phone, this dang app. Like, he's building that next thing. And I think that's so fascinating when you look at different comics' Twitter accounts, see what everybody thinks this thing is, as we're all trying to figure out what this new
path is for a comic that has a social media presence. So just go check out Jonah Ray's Instagram account. Go check out Ricky's. Go check out Rhea's. Mine is not as good because I'm not like a crazy talented art head, but I still love what I put up there because it is like curated. You know, I know what I want the world to see of me. And anyway, it's fascinating. So that's what I'm thinking about this week. So usually this is the part of the show where we tell you what we're going to be watching next. However, because it's a month away, we have yet to pick our movie. We are going to tell you what movie we're watching via all of our Twitter accounts. You can follow us, Ricky Carmona, Rhea Butcher, at Cameron Esposito. You can find us on Twitter. You can keep up with us. We'll be back in October in your ears reviewing another movie then. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
And you've been listening to Wham It Pow. Wham It Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters. Thank you, Lindsay, who records at Maximum Fun. Thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.